Welcome to Tech Mobility Topics.
I'm Ken Chester, and this is the Tech Mobility Show, your program for news, information, and perspective at the intersection of mobility and technology. As usual, you and I have a lot to cover during this visit, so let's get started. To join the conversation, whether to ask a question, suggest a topic for a future discussion, or to share an opinion, you can text or call the Tech Mobility Hotline. That number, 872-222-9793, or you can email me directly, talk@techmobility.show. And that is talk@techmobility.show. Before I go any further, I want to give a shout out to Jeff Stein. He is the news director, and I guess I could call him political hack, up at KXEL Radio in Waterloo, Iowa. Jeff is good people. Had enjoyed my visit with him a few weeks back, where those of you that listen to our programming on KXEL may have heard me live with Jeff a few Fridays ago. Always a good visit. Always enjoy answering questions from you, the listeners, directly. And it was fun. And I hope to do that again sometime real soon. So, Jeff, thank you so much for the invitation. And those of y'all that heard me on the air that morning and sent in your questions, thank you for listening. From the Tech Mobility News Desk, I have a bone to pick. I get a lot of static about EVs when it comes to the use of rare earth materials, primarily cobalt, manganese, some others, that is used in the manufacturing, processing, and creation of electric batteries, electric motors. Even those ores that are mined that are not under Chinese control are required to be sent to the Far East where the processing plants are in order to turn them into usable materials to be included in the manufacture of EV batteries, of EV motors, and associated parts and components. I say all that because I want to point something out, and it starts with, this is from the EV report, and it said, U.S. rare earth magnet facility funded. Let me read that to you again. U.S., yeah, that's the United States, rare earth magnet facility funded. Even if you are able to secure the rare earth minerals from somewhere else than China, and there are other countries, the list is a short one, but there are other countries that China does not control where rare earth materials are mined, you still got to send them to the Far East to be processed. Part of evolving the supply chain in EVs is getting the processing plants here. MP Materials received a $58.5 million award, to construct America's inaugural fully integrated rare earth magnet manufacturing facility, marking a significant advancement in domestic production capabilities. This facility aims to bolster the United States' position in the critical rare earth magnet market currently dominated by overseas production, mainly in China. I'm not even going to pronounce the fancy name, neodymium iron boron, that's what it's called, magnets, essential for various high-tech and defense applications, will be produced. The facility will utilize resources from the United States' sole scaled rare earth mine in Mountain Pass, California. I want that to sink in. I ask a lot of things to sink in, but this one, I want you to think about this for a minute. We have the rare earth mine in the United States. We have the plant to process the rare earths mined from that location in the United States. Granted, automakers are working feverishly to get rid of or otherwise minimize the use of rare earth materials in the construction of EV vehicles. So maybe at best, this is transitionary. 10 to 15 years maybe. and maybe there will always be a need for this for some applications. Because just like with internal combustion engines, whether you're diesel, whether you are a four-cylinder, whether you're running on natural gas, one size don't fit all, one application don't fit all. Same thing here. Addressing the U.S. dependence of foreign rare earth magnets has been identified as a national security risk. They also are establishing a comprehensive rare earth magnet production line in Fort Worth, Texas. And it signifies a strategic move to mitigate the United States' reliance on imported neodymium iron boron magnets. It's a word that just kind of throws me. My eyes don't like trying to read it. These magnets are pivotal for a wide array of modern technologies, not limited to electric vehicles, people, renewable energy solutions, and defense systems. Demand for these magnets are forecasted to triple by 2035. So it's important. And in case you think they just started this, this plant's been under construction since April 2022, 2 years ago. And they expect commercial production of magnet precursor materials and finished magnets to start coming off the line in production by late 2025. This stuff takes time. And I think that's the big thing. We get all up in arms about being vulnerable and being exposed, but you don't realize that it takes time to make these changes. And it's not something you could do in 3 weeks, 3 months, 6 months, a year. In the case of this plant, by the time it comes online, it will have been under construction and under development for over 3 years, not counting originally building the plant itself. And that's just one plant. We got a bunch of battery plants under construction around the United States. We have, more importantly, EV battery material plants under construction designed to reclaim and repurpose and reuse and remanufacture tired, worn out EV batteries, as that number is expected to increase. We've got a whole recycling infrastructure being built in real time. Even as we're ramping up the EV industry, we're also ramping up the EV recycling industry. They're going hand in hand, because anybody in the know realizes that no matter what you were able to do tomorrow in procuring virgin sources of the ores you need, it still won't be enough to meet demand. So as a result, recycling is a major part of the equation, whether you want to accept it or not. So that should answer the question that many of you have had when it comes to, well, what about worn out EV batteries? Are they just going to fill up in landfills or be dangerous? You can't just do certain things with them. Right. True. But even as Ford builds Blue Oval City in Western Tennessee, there also Redwood Industries is building a recycling plant next to it. It's happening in Kansas. It's happening in Nevada. It's happening in California. Right now, these plants are being built. So as the number of spent, worn out, and no longer applicable batteries for EV use become available. And that doesn't even include reusing these batteries, which still have quite a life to them yet, as stationary energy storage facilities. That could add another 10 to 15 years to the life of these things before they even see a recycling plant. And these recycling plants are not just recycling EV batteries. The batteries in your phone, the batteries in your laptop, any sort of lithium iron battery used any kind of way will be going through these plants to be recycled. So a lot of that stuff won't go to a landfill, and in fact will be going to these plants to be reused, repurposed, and recycled. This is real. So to you that have concerns, the industries are addressing your concerns in real time. This is happening. It shouldn't be a surprise. The auto industry had to grow up that way. Salvage yards didn't start right away. That evolved over time, and now pretty efficient. Because in most industries, the automobile industry has the highest reclamation rate when it comes to steel, aluminum, manganese, and some other materials. And a 20-year cycle life, typically. From the time the car leaves the end of an assembly line to the time the car meets the shredder is about 20 years on average, with the average age of a vehicle now on the road between 11 and 12 years old. Just thought you should know. And I wanted to bring you up to date with this because it's important you realize these things are changing. You are listening to Tech Mobility Show.
Are you tired of juggling multiple apps and platforms for meetings, webinars, and staying connected? Look no further than AONMeetings.com, the all-in-one browser-based platform that does it all. With AON Meetings, you can effortlessly communicate with clients, host virtual meetings and webinars, and stay in touch with family and friends, all in one place and for one price. Here's the best part. You can enjoy a 30-day free trial. It's time to simplify your life and boost your productivity. AONMeetings.com, where innovation meets connection. Get started today and revolutionize the way you communicate.
Social media is the main place to be these days, and we are no exception. I'm Ken Chester, the Tech Mobility Show. If you enjoy my program, then you will also enjoy my weekly Facebook videos. From my latest vehicle reviews to timely commentary of a variety of mobility and technology-related topics, these short features are designed to inform and delight you. Be sure to watch, like, and follow us on Facebook. You can find us by typing the Tech Mobility Show in the search bar. Be sure to subscribe to our Facebook page. Social media is the place to be these days, and we're no exception. I'm Ken Chester of the Tech Mobility Show. If you enjoy my program, then you will also enjoy my weekly Instagram videos. From the latest vehicle reviews to timely commentary on a variety of mobility and technology-related topics, these short features are designed to inform and delight you. Be sure to watch, like, and follow us on Instagram. You can find us by typing the Tech Mobility Show in the search bar. For those of you that listen to podcasts, we have just the one for you. Hi, I'm Ken Chester. Tech Mobility Topics is a podcast where I upload topic-specific videos each week. Shorter than a full show, these bite-sized programs are just the thing, particularly if you're interested in a particular topic covered on the weekly radio show. From Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and many podcast platforms in between, we got you covered. Just enter Tech Mobility Topics in the search bar wherever you listen to podcasts.